Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We got good things lined up for you this hour. We're going to get into a couple of fun topics. But right now, we're going to kick things off with our good friend, Connie Henke. She is on the phone with us from the Alexander House in Port Edwards. Connie, good morning.
Good morning.
Connie, how have you been?
Oh, I've been doing great, James. Thank you.
Good to hear. Very good to hear. It's been a little while since we've had a chance to talk, so we always like to catch up and appreciate that you're taking the time to be able to join us and focus on the Alexander House a little bit. And I want to mention, Connie, I got a great letter in the mail over here the other day from you guys, this invitation. It's really nice. You guys did a really nice job with this. Let's talk about this invitation and what is happening this Friday.
Well, we have a new show opening Friday. Our reception will be from 5 to 8 p.m., and the name of the show is called Body and Boldly Beyond, featuring two local artists, Bonnie Dine and Laura Newman, and they will be showing their paintings, ceramic sculptures, and mixed media works.
Connie, would you mind telling us a little bit about Bonnie and Laura?
Bonnie is an oil painter from Rapids, like I said before, and what she is seeing in her bio that I have been using for press release is that she likes to create emotive compositions with a vibrant color palette. In her work, figurative and portraiture work, her pieces reveal narratives through gestural nuances and facial expressions.
A very good artist. Very good. And
yes, we're really excited.
Her work, Bonnie's work, has such emotion to it. Look at it, you feel something. You just automatically do.
Right, yes. So we're really excited to have Bonnie. And along with Bonnie is Laura Newman. And Bonnie and Laura are very good friends and chose one another to show together. So I'm really excited to have the two of them together. And Laura is a multimedia artist, also from the area. And she uses various materials, clay, steel, bronze, glass, found objects. And she also will have a few paintings in the show. And she likes to create expressive artworks that explore themes of strength and fragility. Mm-hmm. I think that's how you say that word.
Yes, yeah. No, nicely done. Laura's work is so creative and detailed. I really enjoy the combinations and the detail that she puts into her work.
Yes, it will be. Yeah, the two of them together, and they've done some pieces together. They will be today, actually, delivering their work to the house, and they have at least one installation that they will be working on together when they deliver the rest of their work. So that'll just be an on-site piece that they put together, which will be really fun to see.
It's going to be a really, really couple of wonderful pieces and artists to be able to appreciate it. The Body and Boldly Beyond, painting, ceramic sculptures, and mixed media works happening this Friday from 5 to 8 over at the Alexander House. Connie, you guys are also going to have a poetry book launch, I understand, coming up.
Yes, we are. That will be on Sunday, April 14th at 2 p.m. And two local writers from the Port Edwards area will be launching their books, and that is Jeffrey Johannes and Joan Johannes. So we're really excited to have the opportunity to showcase their work and have that book launch at the house.
Not only did they teach me and many of the kids, the listeners out there, but they joined us on Director's Cut a little while ago. Great local artists, great writers, really good writers.
Yes. So that's very exciting and for them and for us to have them at the house.
Connie, as long as we have you, I did want to remind everybody out there that while these pieces are great, these events are great, there's always good things going on over at the Alexander House. And the Alexander House, for many years, has done such a great job of supporting local artists.
Yes, definitely.
We want to encourage people to be able to check out more great art and more great things going on over at the Alexander House. Encourage you to do that by going to alexanderhouseonline.org, alexanderhouseonline.org. Connie, if people have other questions or would like to know more about what's going on over there, how can they reach you?
Well, they can. Let's see. Do I have that information?
I do have the phone number here if you want. I do have your email and phone number here.
Yeah, that would be the best way. And, you know, if one of our docents isn't there, because we're open Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday from 1 to 4, they can always leave a message and we will get back to whoever calls. Yes.
That's great, Connie. Did you have something else?
Yeah, I just wanted to let the listeners know that this exhibit will continue through May 7th.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And today is the last day of the Youth Art Month show at the house, so that closes at 4 today. So if people haven't had an opportunity to see that show, that ends today at 4.
Mm. You got to get out there and vote, and right after you're done voting, head on over to the Alexander House and take that a great exhibit if you haven't had a chance to yet.
There you go.
Connie, you're going to have to join us again real soon. It's been too long. Thanks so much for the time. Say hi to everybody over there for us, and have a great time this weekend with the event.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Connie Hankey joining us from the Alexander House in Port Edwards there. Big thank you to her. Find out more and be a part of this great event this weekend. Their Body and Boldly Beyond, painting ceramic sculptures and mixed media arts with Bonnie Dine and Laura Newman, happening this Friday from 5 to 8 over at the Alexander House. And as Bonnie said, the show will continue through May 7th. Buy local, support the arts, everybody.
Yeah, that sounds like a great exhibit.
Yeah, it really does. I gotta go check that out. And again, you can find out more at alexanderhouseonline.org, alexanderhouseonline.org. We'll be back with more coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show here at WFHR.
Being beat up and battered around, being sent up and I'm being shut down. You're the best thing that I've ever found.
We got some fun stuff to get into, Melissa and I. We've got the 9 germiest spots in your office to touch on. But I got to...
Touch them.
No, don't touch them. We're going to... Just don't touch anything until we get through the subject, everybody, okay? Just stand there. Just wait. Just wait. And wait a little longer because I got to pull an audible real quick here. I got a text this morning at 8:19 from some of our candidates in this area. It was a text message. I do not, these people do not know me. I do not know them. They don't have my phone number. They just were able to text me about voting and about voting for them. Has anybody, 715-424-2600, has anybody ever been swayed by a text message that you got from a candidate? I really think this should stop.
Or a
pact. Yes. Either or. 715-424-2600. Have you ever had your opinion changed or heightened or any way you want to word it, whatever verbs you'd like to use, to vote this way or not? Has it ever done any good? Has it done anything ever than annoy you? I'm very
yes.
curious. I'm genuinely asking this, and I don't want to come across angry here or anything like that. I want you guys to feel like you can call up and join us here. Okay, and I'm not talking bad about candidates either. No. I understand candidates are trying to get their message out there. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to help candidates save some money. Stop texting us. Heck, half the time we don't want to get texts from each other, our friends, let alone somebody we don't even know.
You know what's even worse? Voicemails.
Yes. What is the logic behind this? Because these candidates are people, too. They're
right.
human beings. They know
right.
exactly what
How
I'm talking about.
Like getting junk mail.
Yeah.
I mean, texts now are the new junk mail.
Yes.
It's a digital form of junk mail.
You're 100% right. That is such a good comp. You're so right about that.
You know, when I was gone on vacation, the post office did us a huge favor. They only saved the stuff that was actually addressed to us. They didn't save any of the third-party mailings or the junk mail.
Wow.
And we had like 5 pieces of mail after having our mail held for 2 weeks.
Wow. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Shout out to the post office. Yeah.
I know. I very much appreciated that.
There are a lot of great ways to get your message out. There are a lot of great ways to be heard. I don't believe that a quick text message that nobody asked for is a way to do that. And I'm with you, Melissa. I did, again, not just candidates, but PACs as well.
If the effort is, you know, just to get out and vote today, not necessarily coming from a specific candidate or anything else, because that's what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. We're telling you to get out and vote. We're not telling you who to vote for. That's up to you.
The big difference.
And we are trying to share with you information on the candidates. Like, there is the article that's on our websites and our Facebook page. With the interviews that James has done over the last month with as many of our local candidates as we could get on air. Now, obviously, we couldn't get everybody.
Well, everybody reached back out to us.
That's true, too. But in the races that we were able to, you know, contested races that we spoke with, people that were running, we tried to get as much information to you as we could mm-hmm. in the time allotted.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to, you know, you're going to want to use some hand sanitizer out there today. There's a lot of people that are going to be using those voting booths. Be sure to, you know, do so. When it comes to that, you know, we don't have the polling booths, but we have the office here of the 9 germiest spots in your office.
Ooh,
that was as close. That was the kinder segue I thought of doing, Melissa. I had a couple other ones there, but that seemed like the nicer one.
I'm glad you restrained yourself. Well done.
A writer at the Huffington Post came up with this article, and according to experts, here are the 9 germiest spots in your office. I think the number one is pretty obvious: door handles. They're usually the germiest spot because everyone touches them, so it's a good idea to get in the habit of using hand sanitizer when you get to your desk and to your car.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Your keyboard.
Those are the times you open and close doors.
your keyboard. There are over 3,000 microscopic organisms living in every square inch of an average keyboard.
Oof. Not all of them are bad.
No.
However...
Not all of them are bad, but you know, they also they get in the way. You know, they just get in the way.
If you are going to clean your keyboard, don't spray it with anything. Never spray electronics with liquid.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I know I've done something like that a long time ago. I just don't remember exactly how or what I did.
Spray it on a cloth, then wipe the keyboard lightly.
Your desk. It's covered with your own germs, plus any you pick up with your hands and arms. Don't assume a janitor or cleaning crew is taking care of it. Wipe it down with a disinfectant spray every now and then.
That's a smart idea.
Mm-hmm. The shared microwave and fridge.
Ah, yes.
Again, everyone touches the handles. You're probably about to eat, so you might want to, you know, wash your hands first.
Good idea.
The water cooler. The spot you touch has germs on it, but grossness could be lurking in the water itself, too. A few studies have found that those water tanks aren't always cleaned regularly.
Good point.
And I think another good point, Melissa, is to say we're not trying to scare anybody.
No.
This is stuff to keep in mind. Yeah, be aware of. And maybe we can keep these things a little cleaner, or you can yourself be a little cleaner.
But question for you, James. Hmm. How do you clean a water cooler?
When you I'm glad you asked, because I don't know. I was just thinking about it because I'm usually the one that puts the water back on the water cooler here. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about that device and the way it is. And I think that you can flush that out. Okay. Before you put the keg back on or whatever.
New one.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to look into that, though. I'm going to look into ways to clean
Maybe
that.
Maybe we have to talk to who, I think La Crosse supplies our water, right?
Yeah, shout out to
we
them.
We have to
speak
to them about, hey, how do we clean this thing?
I really love our water. I really like the water we have. Yeah, it's really good. And I think that, too, because by the time we're halfway through this article, and already people are wondering, well, what can I touch? what's safe out there? This is life. This is how we build
up. We're surrounded by germs. Yeah. Yes, we build up, like you said, we build up tolerance. It helps our immune system.
Mm-hmm. This is mostly to really help not too many germs, not too many things happening. I don't think that it's necessarily possible or necessarily necessary to avoid everything.
Well, no.
Depending on your immune system, of course.
Mm.
The bathroom, again, they're not cleaned as much as we'd like them to be, and if it's no, it's one reason you really shouldn't be using your phone in there. I don't bring my phone in the. I shouldn't say that. Once in a blue moon, I do bring my phone in the bathroom. I do, but I really, really, really try not to.
Yeah, that's a good idea to avoid.
Elevator buttons, more touch points that get a lot of traffic. Think about using your knuckles instead of the tip of your finger. My papa taught me that. That was ages ago, though. That was like 30 years ago he taught me that, because my papa used to be an elevator worker. And he's
like,
oh,
yeah. Something we run into too much in Wisconsin Rapids, but there's probably a few of them.
Yeah, yeah. Something to keep in mind. And maybe that's the case more with vending machines. Even worse than elevator buttons, because they have more nooks and crannies that are hard to clean. I don't remember the last time I used a vending machine. Man, it's been a long time.
It's been a hot minute for me as well.
I like vending machines.
I used to use one a lot when I was working at the Wisconsin Military Academy on Fort McCoy.
I wonder, especially, I don't know if they do this in other Asian countries, but I know in Japan, they have like vending machines for everything.
They do. You can buy clothes out of vending machines.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just crazy.
I would like to see that in this country. I think that'd be kind of cool. But I would imagine they would already be doing it if there was a profit to be made from it.
Yeah, if there was a call for it.
Yeah.
We have a bit more space for stores.
Mm. How about we don't do that? How about we just do the bidets, those things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just say, if we're not going to use their vending machines, let's use those. That seems like a... Scientifically, it's healthier. It's just healthier, people.
It's healthier, and it uses less trees.
Yes. And finally, your phone. All the germs and bacteria you pick up from those other eight spots eventually end up on your phone, too.
Yeah, because you touch your phone a lot.
So the other note about this, invest in hand sanitizer. And I don't mean just buying some. I mean in the companies. Go ahead and buy stock. Go ahead. This makes it like you read something like this. And because I get teased about this a lot. I wash my hands a lot. And I get teased for that every once in a while. This reading this article, you can see why.
Makes you want to wash your hands more.
Yeah.
And that's also a good note, too. Maybe not just hand sanitizer, but actually just maybe soap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wash your hands. Washing your hands is better than sanitizing. But sanitizing is a good alternative if you don't have a sink available to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's touch on one more here, and pun intended, when it comes to that, because not only are we talking touch, we're talking about our hands and all that. I want to get into this one right here, hands, germs, and all these things. So when it comes to that, your hands, if your mad bottle opener wasn't a choice here, what would you do? If you could do anything with your hand. So here's the question. If your non-dominant hand got replaced by a robot hand, what gadget would you include?
Okay.
This is a Reddit question that one of our listeners sent to us and thought that it'd be fun for us to debate and go over, Melissa. So, someone asked Reddit and over 1,000 people voted, if your non-dominant hand got replaced by a robotic hand, what gadget would you replace it with? Blah, blah, blah. So these aren't my kind of questions, but our listener spoke and we wanted to go ahead and get it out there and everything. So I don't know.
Well, traditionally, it's a hook.
Yes, yeah, a hook seems pretty good. First off, it's got to be interchangeable. I want the hook, you know, the traditional hook or something, or actually something that's not going to be able to catch on things, and I'm not going to have a chance of poking my eye out with it.
Well, and if it's robotic, it's got to be, you should be able to move it.
Right, right. Yeah.
I mean, I would just want it replaced with a prosthetic hand that had super strength.
Yes, 1,000 times.
And then the fingers could be different implements, like a Swiss Army knife.
I love that. Very, very Go-Go Gadget. Very, yep. Very. Yes, I love this. I love mm-hmm. where you go with it. I'm 100% with you. And the first thing I thought of, too, was Go-Go Gadget. and Wolverine. I don't know if it'd be as cool if you don't have it on both hands. If you just got the claws on the one hand, it might not be as intimidating, but it still seems like it'd be kind of cool.
Okay, sure. But functionality-wise... Mm. How are you going to use that in your day-to-day life, James?
Mm. Logic. Now you're throwing logic in there all of a sudden. No, it's a very good point. What about, as far as like useful things, a flashlight? A screwdriver? You know, that's got a super strong grip that kind of goes along with what you were saying a little bit, Melissa. Yeah. An integrated smartphone with touchscreen. Jeez, no, that's it's bad enough that we can't put our phones down. You literally could not put your phone down then.
But it'd be easy to wash.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It'd have to be waterproof, obviously.
Those are some interesting options. What would you choose, everybody? 715-424-2600, 424-2600.
A coffee cup.
Oh, I like that. I like the coffee cup.
Except then you wouldn't be able to put it down.
What about just a bigger hand? Like,
two hands?
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Two hands on one arm. Yeah. Yeah. There we go. That's something. That's something.
Yeah, when you need that third hand?
Yes. These questions to me always seem silly because, you know, well, what's the chances of it happening or any of those things? But I forget sometimes that it's just fun to let your imagination run sometimes, you know, just let it go ahead and run wild.
And what about an interchangeable hand? Like when you're in the kitchen, it becomes kitchen implements. When you're in the garage, it becomes tools.
See, now that's what they got to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Heck, some people might give up a real hand just for that. That's not bad.
Handy.
Oh, hands down, a good joke right there, Melissa.
Oh boy.
We will take a timeout because we really should. We'll get to our news break. We'll come back and we're going to talk about planters. Would you? Planeteers is what I mean to say. Not planters, planeteers, as in Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to get into that. What would you rather control? Earth, fire, air, or water? That's coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great Tuesday out there. Thanks so much for joining us, kicking off your morning with us. Mm-hmm. Let's get into this one. Boomers and Gen Z get a lot of attention in surveys these days, but here's one that will hit home for 90s kids and just fans of these kind of what-if questions. anybody who is a fan of Captain Planet and the Planeteers, you'll get to where we're going with this. Now, I did not really watch that cartoon growing up. My sister and brother loved it, watched it like crazy.
I think I've seen it.
You know, it's essentially, you know, there's a guy made of elements and he went around trying to protect the Earth. It was kind of, you know, one of those shows that was really trying to speak to kids and get kids mm-hmm. to care about the planet.
And it began in 1990.
Okay, yeah. Now, if you could control one of the elements, earth, fire, wind, or water, which would you choose? 715-424-2600. Call up, join the conversation. A recent poll asked this question for some reason, and there's no consensus answer. 25% of people said water, 21% said earth, 17% said air, and 14% said fire. So a lot of them, first off, watched a lot of The Last Airbender. There's been a lot of that going on. Unfortunately, heart was not an option, but 22% of people did answer not sure. No. Men were more likely to say that they wish that they can control the wind, while women were more likely to say that they are not sure how to answer.
Oh, I would choose water.
Yeah?
No question.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think water, but earth is close for me. Earth is a close one. Now the air, it seems cool, but I don't feel like I could do as much with that. And fire, I would get in trouble. I would get in trouble. I don't know how, I don't know what I would do, but I know, no.
But if you could control it, that means you could make it stop, too, yeah. Right?
Yeah, they tell me I can control my hands and legs, too, but I still trip and I fall over myself all the time.
Good point. Good point.
I feel like knowing me, it's not worth chancing. It's just not worth it. There's too many good people out there. We don't want anything bad to happen. I like the Earth one, if that means what I think it does, where you can control Earth. You can move ground and soil
right.
and sand.
Reshape it.
My God, yeah. That'd be cool. Oh, that seems like it'd be cool. Awesome. Also, but seems like I get in trouble again.
Destructive.
Yeah, it does seem like it.
Potentially.
I'm going to scratch my head, my nose or something, and like a whole street block just gets moved. No. This is the thing that I think sometimes when I'm watching these superhero movies too. Like they're so well written and so many of them are really good, I think. But there's so many also really dead spots where you're like, well, wait a minute. and it doesn't come down to the likelihood of this happening or those things. It comes down to me for people. Like how human beings would actually handle some of this stuff if they had this kind of power or control. I think a lot more people would be really quiet about it. I think a lot more people would be really shy about it. I also think that there's a whole, I start walking around and I control air. Okay, that's really cool. And I show up and I'm on the evening news and everything. And then about an hour later, nobody ever hears from me again. And I'm not saying the government picked me up and took me in to go do experiments on me, but I'm also not saying that didn't happen. It wouldn't happen.
We've all seen the movies.
Come on.
I know that I've seen the show a couple times, but listen to the people that are voices on the show. Whoopi Goldberg, LeVar Burton, Tim Curry, Meg Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah. An incredible cast.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I would probably go back and watch it just to pick out those voices.
I love all those actors that you mentioned there. I think that one of the other things that the show did, because I think they tried to bring it back. I'm not sure if they did or not, but I don't think it's a coincidence that this show came out in 1990 and you have so many kids growing up in that generation that care about the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a coincidence. And no. I don't see what is the side effect of caring about the planet? Sure. Anything can be bad if you do
right.
too
if you
much
take
of
anything
it.
Too far. It
yes.
can be a bad thing.
Yeah. That being said, I don't see the downside to people caring about the planet or worrying about it or anything. I think we've passed the tree quote unquote tree hugger thing. we're all caring about we're all hugging trees now. We're all care about the planet. If
it's
you don't
the rock we live on.
Yeah.
There's not other options.
If you don't, that's fine. You're just selfish. Just own it. Just own that you're a selfish person that only cares about themselves and doesn't care about the future or children or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Because that's honestly what you're telling the rest of us. That's not me trying to be mean. You go ahead and live your life. You do you. But I'm just telling you, that is the way you come across.
Yep.
I'm leaning still towards Earth. I'm trying to think of things that you could do with the air that would be cool. But I don't know. I mean,
air can be very destructive.
Yeah.
I think you'd be able to fly.
I like what you're... Yeah, now see, okay, wait a minute now. That seems a little interesting all of a sudden, yeah. I didn't really give a lot of thought to the water, but you mentioned water. Why would you choose water, Melissa?
I am drawn to water. I love rainy days.
Mm-hmm.
I could sit and watch water, like a river or a creek or a stream. I get distracted by puddles.
I have this in me too. I'm so much the same way. I can actually sit there for a good half an hour or so and just watching a river. I don't know. I find it interesting. I've always liked the idea of you're sitting here in Rapids in one of our great trail areas near the river, and you're watching the river go by. That same water, somebody a couple miles up or a couple miles down, seeing the same thing. It's it's a similarity of like the moon. The you're under the moon and you're missing or thinking of somebody, and they're under that same moon somewhere around there, thinking the same of you.
Yeah, and there's, you know, water, like you said, it travels places. It sees things. And so you can sit there and wonder about, well, what has or what has seen this water previous to it being here? I feel the same way about old buildings. I walk into an old building and I'm like, this building has seen some stuff and some people and the things that have passed through these doorways. I don't know. Water is similar to me.
I get that like that with buildings, too. I love architecture, and I love learning about it or studying it, and especially unique buildings, even a uniquely built house. I look at that and I'm like, man, what are the stories there? What do they got to say?
Right.
They say you are what you eat, and maybe you could also make a case for you are where you eat. Where you eat. Wallet Hub just released its annual report where they ranked 182 of the biggest cities in the U.S. from the healthiest to the least healthiest. And that's what we're getting into right now, the healthiest and least healthiest cities in America.
Okay.
And the rankings are based on 41 factors, including overall physical health, mental health, healthcare costs, and quality nutrition, including fruit and vegetable consumption, fitness levels, parks, trails, and bike paths.
Okay.
And they say the 10 healthiest cities in the U.S. are San Francisco, Honolulu, Seattle, San Diego, Washington, D.C., Portland, Oregon, Denver, Salt Lake City, Scottsdale, Arizona, and Irvine, California.
Wow.
And, of course, on the other end of the spectrum, the least healthiest, Brownsville, Texas, Gulfport, Mississippi, Laredo, Texas, Columbus, Georgia, Shreveport, Louisiana. And the least healthy major cities are Detroit and Memphis.
Wow, that is those cover very different demographic areas.
Yeah.
All the unhealthy ones are in the South or the Midwest, and the healthy ones are all on the coasts, pretty much.
Yeah,
aside of what, Colorado.
Yeah. It speaks again, I think, to what it is like in the South right now.
Mm-hmm. Where we have the highest rates of poverty, the lowest investment in education.
It really also, you know, this also point, because we're talking about health. And look, I know a lot of people who would like to eat healthier, but they don't have the budget. And that is a catch that really should not exist with food or society. I understand. I'm an adult.
Not
I understand
in America.
Why it does. No, it shouldn't. It's the same argument to me as I have a broken leg, but I can't go to the doctor. That shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. That there should not be a scenario like that in this country, in our country. I don't believe so. Mm-hmm. Just speaking as an American about America, not for Americans, but about America. I never try to speak for Americans. I as an American, I wouldn't want
to. He has trouble speaking for himself.
Exactly.
Guys. Don't worry. He's not speaking for all of you.
Exactly. Yes.
Sorry. I just had to throw that out
no,
there.
No, it's true. And very funny. Very funny. I love true and funny. It's always good to be. But this does speak to why, we want people to eat healthier. We need to make the food options healthier, that are healthier, cheaper, more cost effective.
Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be cheaper to buy overprocessed, chemicalized food that's making us sick than fresh fruits and veggies.
Yeah.
That just should not be the way that it is. Because how much time and effort is spent into processing and shipping and packaging all of those processed foods? It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's not, there is no one person to blame for this, but we did this wrong. What we should have been doing this whole time is made good food that's good for you cheaper and the sugary stuff more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the way we should have been doing this whole time. That's the real way to really not only create change and create a healthier society and a healthier country, but just economically think of the impact it would make. Because even when you're poor, sometimes you're still buying and you're still getting these sugary products and everything. So I don't know. I feel like that there's a way to work this. There's a way to make this right. I don't know all the. I don't know. I don't have the answers, but I know that it's possible. I don't believe we've been to the moon, people. Don't tell me we can't fix this. I'm tired of people throwing their hands up in the air
just
or saying
being negative.
Yes. Or oh, that's too complicated. We could never figure that out. Give me a break. They figured out, we've been to the moon, and that was in the 60s. Like, we didn't have the tech. If I told you, hey, we're going to the moon now. Okay, yeah, we got the tech for it. Of course we are. We should. Why haven't we done it already? Nah, they did that in the 60s. Like, yeah. Don't tell me we can't pull things off. They were telling us when we were kids, Melissa, oh, they'll never get everybody to recycle. That'll never happen. Where are we at? Everybody recycles now. Everybody.
Well, everybody tries to recycle. That's a different topic.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have the ability to make this change. And the way that we make that change is with our vote.
Get down. Get out there. Get in voting. Get to voting,
vote
people.
Vote for people that want to make these positive changes, not people who are bought by corporations and that only want to make money for themselves, not make life better for you.
Yeah, you can go online and you can find out every politician that is on your ballot today who is in their pocket. You can find that out. It's not hard.
Well, technically today it's supposed to be a nonpartisan vote.
Right, right.
For our local offices. They shouldn't be either party. These local races are people who are running. So you should be able to investigate into what their platform is and what they are advocating for.
True. Yeah. Looking at just wrapping up the topic here, we went to this article comes to us from wallethub.com. What about our local cities? Let's look at Aurora in Illinois is ranked 112th. Let's see here. Milwaukee is ranked 81st. And Madison is ranked 17th.
Hey.
Top 20.
Nice job, Madison.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a beautiful city to walk and bike in.
Oh,
I've said this multiple times. If I had to live in a bigger city in Wisconsin, I would consider Madison.
Madison is one of my top five favorite cities in the world. I love.
But also,
Madison.
To be fair, I have not spent a whole lot of time in a lot of our other bigger cities. I've not spent a lot of time in Milwaukee or Appleton or Green Bay. I've spent a lot of time in Madison.
Yeah, it's a great city. I love it. We will check in with our partners, take a time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show, having some fun with the local good stories of the day. And I got a that ain't right one that we got to get to, too. That's all coming up for you.
Of course you do.
On the morning show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here. Got some good stuff to lined up for you. Going to get into some local things for you. Touch on our schedule here for the day. All that coming up. But we first got a That Ain't Right story here. And it's a That Ain't Right story to me, I will say. Maybe not to you out there. Maybe you're a big lemon juice fan.
Oh.
An Idaho man drank a liter of lemon juice through a straw in 13.64 seconds, earning a potential Guinness World Record title and kind of a bad stomach ache. David Rush, who has broken more than 250 Guinness World Records and currently holds 164 titles, previously held the title for the fastest time to drink 1 liter, 4.2 cups, of lemon juice through a straw in 16 seconds. He beat his record by 3 seconds.
Why does it have to be lemon juice?
I don't know. The experience was far from pleasant, he says. This time I even had a reversal of fortune for about a quarter of it. Yet, it, in a way, I'm grateful it probably sped my recovery.
Oofta. That means he spewed it out.
Yeah. But I'm trying to see if there the other guy had the same problems or not. Rush's latest attempt, which must still be reviewed and approved by Guinness World Records, would bring him to 165 concurrent world records. He is aiming to hold the most records of anyone in the world, a goal requiring him to hold at least 183.
Wow.
My Danny Wright story part of this is not him. It is the idea that the Guinness record holder or the Guinness people that have to go around and, you know, the observers of this and find out if it's an actual record, if they did the, you know, they followed the rules and all that. Okay. These people, we don't think about this, but they don't just show up to everyone that breaks a record. Like, you're showing up to one of these, and this guy tells you, I can drink lemon juice in less than 14 seconds or whatever. And then he tries, and you have to watch as he fails and fails and fails. And I can't imagine that's a lot of fun.
No.
That seems like a rough gig.
You know, I think you're right. That does not, that would not be on the top of my list of things to do.
I thought it would be one of the cooler jobs to have, honestly. Like, you're running around the whole world, and you're getting to see Guinness, you know, all that stuff.
I'm sure some of it is cool.
Some of it's got to be, right? In theory.
Yeah, in theory.
We need a palate cleanser, and we had one today. I want to thank our guests today, Bria Hoyt, election poll worker who joined us earlier, and Connie Henke from the Alexander House. Great guests today. It was a lot
Absolutely.
Of fun. We got great guests coming into the studio in just a little bit. We're looking forward to talking with during Midday Magazine today. Join us from 3 to 4 right here at WFHR. Terry Hummus, Citra Wisconsin Gift of Life, is going to be joining us. She joins us every year to talk about their scavenger hunt.
Oh, nice.
Looking forward to that. And in part two, we'll catch up with our friends from the South Oconee YMCA. Baxter and Stephanie are going to join us. Big thank you to Tri-City Services. Thank you for setting up that interview.
Oh, wonderful. You're probably going to talk about upcoming programming for the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking forward to that. Looking forward to what we got for you a little bit later today at 5:30. It's a ball night. It's a ball and voting night. Milwaukee Bucks at the Washington Wizards. I like that. The Bucks are in our nation's capital on a voting day. That's pretty good. we will, of course, have election coverage for you afterwards. Be listening for that. And appreciate you, Melissa, for the great work that you're doing there.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, everybody, on our sister station, WIRI, we got Port Edwards softball. Yeah.
Hey, there we go.
I believe it's our first game of the season we're broadcasting. Port Edwards versus Pittsville. Mike and Seth going to be covering that one for you. A big shout out to both of them and the great work they're doing.
Okay. I hope the incoming weather does not wreck any havoc on that game.
Definitely want to keep that in mind. We will be letting you know if that game is canceled and if we are not playing it. We will be sure to keep you up to date on that. Tomorrow we're going to have a great show. Melissa and I hanging out again, and we will be joined by Phil Hartley from Quality Pulse Printing with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Keep that in mind.
Wicked awesome.
Mm-hmm. And got some local things going on in the area here. We just had our monthly veterans update yesterday. A big shout out to our friends over there. Today, the Allied Veterans Council meeting will be taking place at the VFW Post 2534. That'll be at 1800 tonight, 6 o'clock. Those that don't know, military time as well. and keep in mind, the American Heroes Cafe will be up and running tomorrow. Go ahead and join them for the American Heroes Cafe. It'll be on the 10th. The 10th is the next
good.
American Heroes
because
Cafe.
Because tomorrow's probably not going to be great driving weather. So by the 10th, you should be able to get there no problem.
Yeah. Keep that in mind.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. What is going on tomorrow is bingo.
Bingo.
They got bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge.
And they'll have plenty of time to get the roads cleared because I think our weather advisory lifts at 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So get down for a fun night of bingo at the VFW. They do a great job, and they have, I believe, a cash bar, and there's food available too, right?
Yeah. Check that out. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. Join our friends at the Elks Lodge at 430 West Jackson Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Mm-hmm. And our friends at the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties has their Community Shred Day coming up. Get ready for that, everybody. That'll be next Wednesday, April 10th, 9 to 11, over at Prevail Bank Lot at 1601 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids.
Get there early, because once they're full, they're full.
Yeah. Protect yourself and your identity from theft by bringing in your sensitive documents, old tax returns, and other items like that. Each individual can shred up to 2 18x10 boxes for free, and then they kindly ask for a $5 donation after that.
Yeah.
You can find out more by going to uwswac.org, uwswac.org. Be sure to follow the United Way on social media as well. Mm-hmm. And again, be sure to double check those boxes. Go to myvote.wi.gov. Make sure you are up to date on everything that is going to be waiting for you in the polls today. Make sure you're registered. Find out where you need to go to vote, and find out more about what's on that the ballot.
Yeah, it tells you exactly what you're going to be voting for once you get in the voting booth.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple of world stories I want to touch on. And a 105-year-old eclipse chaser is gearing up to see his 13th next week.
Oh, wow. 105?
Yeah. His name is Laverne Beiser. His first eclipse was in Maine in 1963.
Wow.
He has traveled the world to see them, but won't have to go anywhere this time. He lives in Fort Worth, Texas, so the, quote, path of totality is going right over his house.
Right over him. Oh, that's awesome.
How cool is that? How that worked out.
Yeah.
Just happened to work out that way. That is really cool.
Yeah. I believe I saw a map. The next one in Wisconsin is in 2099.
Oh, wow. Wow. Man, that is a way
We just have to be patient. Yeah, it'll get here eventually.
Just got to wait it out. We got to wait it out. They are really cool to see. It is a really, really miraculous. Even if you're just seeing it online.
Just make sure you protect your eyes if you're looking at it for real.
Yes. Please protect your eyes, everybody. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Keep that in mind. I think that's going to do it for the show. I just looked at the clock. Yeah, that's going to do it for the show. I want to thank, Bria for joining us and letting us know a little bit about our election poll workers.
Thank you for all of our poll workers today. I mm-hmm. hope everything goes wonderfully and smooth and no issues.
Be good to each other out there, everybody. Treat mm-hmm. each other with kindness and
respect and courtesy.
Yeah, and keep in mind, you may not vote for the same person, but you live in the same country and you have the same laws and same rules and mm-hmm. same benefits that are all given to us because we get to do what we're doing today. Keep democracy alive. Help freedom ring.
Indeed.
Good luck tonight, Melissa. Hope it goes well, and thank you again for what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And we will talk to you tomorrow right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.